Hello, hello. What's up out there? This is Zach, and you're listening to Reads on the Bitcoin Well podcast. Big week. The Clarity Act just cleared the Senate Banking Committee in a bipartisan vote. Bitcoin briefly punched back above 82,000, then promptly got dragged under 79K by surging treasury yields and another round of inflation panic. Drake dropped a Bitcoin reference on his new album. Who is this Drake person? Abu Dhabi quietly cranked their ETF stake up another 16%. 12 years in this space, and it is still the wildest news cycle on the planet. The state is up in Washington spending political capital to write rules around something that was specifically designed not to need their permission and will continue to function regardless of whatever rules they write. And the same week, rate hike odds tip above 50% because the bond market is finally calling the bluff on years of money printing. Indulgences with a different costume. It really is another dark ages, isn't it? Speaking of which, today's read is one of my favorites in a long time. It's a piece by Conrad Fitzpatrick called The Great Decoupling. From the Reformation of Heaven to the Reformation of Money. Conrad draws the line that's been sitting in plain sight. Martin Luther in 1517, Satoshi Nakamoto in 2008. Same play, five centuries apart. Two technical documents, two strikes against the most powerful institutions of their era. One broke the church's monopoly on God, the other is breaking the state's monopoly on money. This is a good one to share with friends and family who don't quite get why you're so loud about self-custody yet. Sometimes history just says it better than we can. Step out of the chaos and the news cycle and relax into some knowledge and understanding. And if we can't learn from history, well, then you can't get fooled again or something like that. If you want to reach out, you can hit me at zachadair@bitcoinwell.com. That's zadair@bitcoinwell.com. I respond to every email. So in the meantime, stack sats and keep learning and enjoy the show. The Great Decoupling, From the Reformation of Heaven to the Reformation of Money, by Conrad Fitzpatrick. History doesn't repeat, but it often rhymes. Five centuries apart, two figures, one a German monk with a mallet, the other an anonymous coder with a keyboard, both launched ideological strikes against the most powerful institutions of their eras. Martin Luther did not just change how people prayed, he broke the monopoly the Roman Catholic Church held over worship and accessing the Bible and even the human soul. Satoshi Nakamoto did not just invent digital commodity money, he is breaking the monopoly the state and central banks had over human labor. By examining the Protestant Reformation and the Bitcoin Revolution, we see a recurring blueprint for human liberation, the use of disruptive technology to bypass intermediaries and return sovereignty to the individual. Part 1, The Monopolies of the Mediaries. In the 15th century, the church was the state, and the state was the church. The Vatican was the ultimate intermediary. If you wanted to understand the Word of God, you went to church and listened to the Mass in Latin. Bibles were forbidden from being translated outside of Latin, a language the common person couldn't really speak. The indulgence system was perhaps the most egregious misuse of power, akin to institutional rent-seeking. Here's how it worked. Priests and bishops would sell get-out-of-purgatory cards to fund the construction of St. Peter's Basilica and to fund the Pope's lavish lifestyle. If you think that sounds unfair, well, you're right. And Martin Luther thought so too. Today we live under a similar form of rent-seeking in high finance. Modern central banks operate with a level of opacity and power that rivals the medieval pope. They determine the interest rates, the price of time and the cost of money, and the supply of money, which is the value of labor. Much like the sale of indulgences, modern quantitative easing and debt-driven policies function as a hidden tax or inflation that devalues the savings of the masses to prop up the cathedrals of too-big-to-fail banking institutions and the financial elite. Central banking creates a peasant class, forever sprinting on a financial treadmill that powers the lifestyles of the elites, a treadmill that no one can afford to fall off of. Part 2, the 95 thesis versus the Bitcoin white paper. In 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis to the door of the All Saints Church in Wittenberg. It was a technical critique of institutional corruption. He wasn't trying to start a revolution initially. He wanted a debate, a reform. He argued that the Pope has neither the will nor the power to remit any penalties, and that faith was a direct relationship between the individual and the divine. In 2008, Satoshi Nakamoto nailed the Bitcoin white paper to a cryptography mailing list. Like Luther's thesis, it was a technical document aimed at a specific problem, the need for a peer-to-peer electronic cash system that did not rely on a trusted third party. Satoshi's opening line was his indictment of the Church of Finance. Quote, "Commerce on the internet has come to rely almost exclusively on financial institutions serving as trusted third parties to process electronic payments. While the system works well enough for most transactions, it still suffers from the inherent weaknesses of the trust-based model." Both documents were calls to remove the middleman and restore individual sovereignty. Luther argued you didn't need a priest to reach God. Satoshi argued you didn't need a bank to store or transact your own value. Part 3, marketing the revolution, the printing press, and the internet. Resolutions are the product of network effects. Luther was one of the first quote-unquote influencers. Before the printing press, the ideas of a heretic died with them at the stake. But Luther leveraged the printing press to turn his Latin thesis into German pamphlets. Between 1517 and 1520, Luther's publications sold over 300,000 copies. This led to a massive shift in literacy because Luther translated the Bible into the vernacular, German. People finally had a reason to learn to read. By writing the Bible in the local language, the message was able to resonate better with his audience. In the early 1500s, literacy in Germany was estimated at below 5%. By the end of the century, in areas influenced by the Reformation, it began to climb significantly, eventually paving the way for the 80% literacy rates required for the Industrial Revolution. In addition to religious sovereignty, Luther's Bibles also created a wave of intellectual sovereignty. Satoshi used the printing press of our time, the internet. By sharing the code as open source, Satoshi ensured that the Bitcoin software could be downloaded, audited, and run by anyone with a computer. Just as the printing press lowered the cost of a Bible from a year's wages to a few weeks' pay, the internet lowered the cost of financial information to near zero. Luther used pamphlets, Satoshi used BitcoinTalk.org and Cypherpunk forums. Both understood that if the ideas reached the masses, the centralized power couldn't stop the power of a good idea held by many people. Part 4, escaping the medieval era of finance. When Luther broke the church's grip, the result wasn't just religious freedom, it was an explosion of human potential. The rise of individual literacy led directly to the Renaissance and the Enlightenment. People were reading Greek philosophy and spawning new philosophical movements for the first time in centuries. When people realized that they were responsible for their own souls, they began to believe they were responsible for their own scientific and political destinies. The building blocks of Western democracy were laid. The modern fiat system has trapped society in a new dark age of debt. Global debt is at record highs, and governments must print money to service that debt, which steals purchasing power from the future. Debt forces their hand. Governments need inflation because deflation will destroy them with an unpayable debt burden. In a fiat system, the Cantillon effect ensures that these closest to the money printer, banks and the ultra-wealthy, get richer, while those at the edges, the working class, see their costs of living rise faster than their wages. Until Bitcoin, the lower classes couldn't access or self-custody hard, scarce assets that outpace inflation. Bitcoin aims to trigger a financial renaissance, By capping the supply at 21 million, it removes the ability of a financial pope to devalue the people's labor. What happens when the fiat system unravels? Well, when money holds its value, people save for the future. In a fiat system, you're incentivized to spend or gamble because your cash is melting. The banks love this system because it ensures they get revenue. Just as the Bible in the vernacular allowed the peasant to be their own priest, Bitcoin allows the individual to be their own bank. Without the state's ability to print its way out of bad policy, resources flow toward innovation and efficiency rather than political lobbying. Part 5, the prosperity of the individual. The Reformation led to the rise of the middle class because it democratized knowledge, which makes opportunity accessible. Bitcoin democratizes equity. In the current system, the rich stay rich through access to cheap credit, tax avoidance strategies, and by owning assets that the poor can't afford due to the barrier of entry in high-end finance. Bitcoin is the first level playing field in finance. A billionaire in New York and a farmer in Kenya use the exact same protocol. There are no elites calling the shots on Bitcoin. This even ability to accumulate wealth is the 21st century equivalent of the 16th century equal ability to read the Word of God. Conclusion: the New Reformation, a future powered by Bitcoin. Martin Luther didn't destroy religion, he decentralized it. Satoshi Nakamoto didn't destroy money, he's decentralizing it. Both are improving the lives of the 99%. The shift from the medieval era to the modern era required a painful but necessary decoupling of church and state. The shift from the modern era to the sovereign era requires the decoupling of money and state. As Bitcoin continues to propagate across the digital landscape, we are witnessing a global population taking control of their financial destiny. The printing press gave us the sovereign mind. Bitcoin gives us the sovereign individual.